Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family, finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. And now, here's Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary Donnellan and for Maria Bailey. And hey, Maria's not here. Al, let's mix it up. What about that new theme song?
Coming up.
Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family, finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
All right. Thank you so much, Al. That's so much better. And why not kick off the new year with a great new theme song, a little change to the year, and I hope your new year is going great. This is Mary Donnellan again, in for Maria Bailey, and let's hope Maria likes that new theme song. And again, thanks again, Al. That was some good work there. And that'll be the theme song you're hear going forward as we welcome in the new year and a new look and feel and listening, actually, to Mom Talk Radio. And as usual, though, even though the theme song changed, we have some great guests lined up. Before we get to the guests, I wanted to quickly mention our sponsor, who is Premama. And we know from Drink Premama that they .com that they have prenatal vitamins you can drink, as well as fertility and lactation consultants. And fertility and lactation supplements, excuse me, not consultants. But the other product they wanted to talk about is the digestive aid. It's the newest addition to the line. It is a tasty, soft chew, a pill-free option to ease pregnancy discomforts. It is full of fiber and probiotics to promote healthy digestion and a healthy immune system. Vegetarian, naturally flavored. You can enjoy as many as 1 to 4 chews daily. And it's also a great source of fiber. So it is available, again, it's called Digestive Aid. It's available at CVS, Walgreens, Amazon, The Vitamin Shop, GNC, and, of course, at drinkpremama.com. So, of course, the holidays are over, and this is my first time behind the mic this year, so happy New Year and happy 2017 to all of you. And the holiday discount items are all over the shelves, and this is when I really find some great deals. So I find a lot of different things on the shelves. I even found last year, which I used a lot this year, was just those simple little holiday bags, little gift bags and things like that. They were about 80% off last year. So it's a great time to definitely do some shopping. But replacing holiday, of course, is Valentine's Day items. They are loaded with items all over the store shelves, from chocolates and little teddy bears with hearts to really cute little home decor items. So Valentine's Day is, again, right around the corner. And if you're looking for actually a gift idea for new, pregnant, or young moms, the Mother Nurture chocolate truffles are a great idea. If you have not heard of them, go to madebymothernurture.com. That is the website where you can find information. They are available on Amazon. They are chocolate truffles and enhanced waters with vitamins in them, prenatal vitamins and nutrients. So check it out. It's Mother Nurture. That is a fantastic Valentine's Day gift idea. If you're going to give chocolate, you might as well give chocolate that is also healthy for moms and babies. And they taste delicious. There's milk chocolate and dark chocolate raspberry. And then the waters have three flavors, pink grapefruit, tropical splash, and mixed berry. And they're very lightly flavored, so they're not really sweet at all. And again, all natural ingredients. So great items. Check it out at madebymothernurture.com. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about developing your child's innate talents with child psychologist Mary Reckmeyer. Stay with us.
This is Mom Talk Radio.
While you're in the stores, go ahead and pick up an extra pack of notebook paper, an extra pack of crayons. You know what's going to happen. They're going to hate the broken crayons. The markers, the lids will have been left off. They're going to be dry. So just go ahead and buy. Like, everything you're buying, buy two of and put it at the top of the closet because you're going to need it all again.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
This is Mary in for Maria, and hope you all enjoyed that our new theme song going forward. And if you did like it, leave us a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/momtalkradio. And I'm pleased to welcome our first guest is Mary Reckmeyer, another Mary, who is a PhD and the executive director of Gallup's Donald O. Clifton Child Development Center. And Mary's going to be talking about a new book about developing our child's innate talents. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Mary.
Hi, hello. Thanks for inviting me to your show today.
Tell us a little bit about the book, the new book, and what it's about.
Okay. Well, at Gallup, we've been in the business of studying individuals and their development for well over 50 years, and we've gathered a tremendous amount of data that's focused on talents and strengths. We've had over 14 million people worldwide who've taken our Clifton Strengths Finder, and so strengths-based parenting, developing your children's innate talents, has been what I would call a natural extension of our Gallup strength psychology to what I think is the most important operating system in the world, and that would be the family. And so our book not only includes assessments that have to do with adult strengths, but also with the strengths of young people, and we've collected well over a million of those. One of the reasons I think it's so important to extend strength psychology to the family and to children is because we know through our research and through others' research that people really are happier, they're more effective when they do what they do best. That is, when they're focusing on and using and developing their strengths rather than trying to just fix up their weaknesses. Because we do know that the more people use their strengths, the less likely they are to report experiencing physical pain, worry, stress, anger, sadness. And I think what's also really key is we know that when they have the opportunity to focus on strengths every day, they're more than three times as likely to report having an excellent quality of life and six times as likely to be engaged in their jobs. Now, think about
productivity, right?
Apply that to parenting. Yeah, exactly. Well, and then think about it when you think about parenting in the family,
right.
That also applies, there. We've also done some surveys of students, and in fact, we looked at over 600,000 students, and we learned that the students who said that the schools they attended built on their strengths and that they had at least one teacher that made them excited about the future were 30 times more likely to be engaged in school.
Tell me a little bit about the book itself then. Is it, it's for parents, and it basically, is it kind of a toolbox to developing those innate talents or recognizing, again, maybe a school that's better for your child, one versus another? A brief overview of the book without giving it all away, of course.
Sure. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. It's all of the above. So it's really about helping parents think about, first and foremost, I think, why it's important to look at your child as an individual, why it's important to think about who they innately are, what they bring to this world. It's for parents to look at who they are as a parent so that they can identify and magnify their own strengths to improve the way they parent their children, and so that they can have some real specific ways to think about who their child is and how to develop them. There are two assessments that are included actually in the book. One is for parents to identify their parenting strengths, and then one is for children to identify their strengths. And then those assessments are they're really the window into figuring out what those natural inclinations are of parents and children,
right.
So that then you can, unlock the answer to who your child is.
So what is the age range for the book in terms of your children? Is the book geared toward millennial parents, or I'm not a millennial, I'm older than that. So I have teenagers. Is this too late for them? Are we looking at kids? Is the book geared toward children in lower grades, let's say?
So the book actually covers the whole range because we have a section for parents with children who are preschool age, elementary school age, teenagers, and I would even contend it's a great book for grandparents because we never really stop parenting, And what this book is really about is helping you to understand who your child of any age is and who you are as a parent.
Yeah, that's awesome. It sounds really great. And I was just talking to my son the other day. There was a book I read years ago, and it was basically Do What You Love. It was a loose title. I forgot the actual title. But it's essentially, I think, playing on what you're saying, playing on your strengths, doing something you enjoy doing, because it just leads to so many other, like you said, higher quality of life, better quality of life, I should say, higher productivity at work, in your personal life, et cetera.
Right, exactly.
So tell our listeners where they can find the book.
You can find the book at strengthsbasedparenting.com, Gallup.com, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's.
Right, and then do you have... Right, and there's a website that website parents can go to find out more information about the book, as well as what you're talking about in terms of all the work that the Gallup's Child Developmental Center is doing.
Right. If you go to Gallup.com, there'll be all types of tabs you can find to click in on whichever one you're most interested in learning more about.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. Again, can you tell us the title again?
Strengths-Based Parenting, Developing Your Children's Innate Talents.
Great. Thank you so much, Dr. Ruckmeier, and thank you for joining us on this edition of Mom Talk Radio. When we come back, we are going to shine the spotlight on moms. Marge Gerwells will talk about traveling with kids. It's important. Stay with us. And before we break, let me just tell you about Mom TV, the place that you need to go online when you want to see what we're doing here on Mom Talk Radio. We have videos for and by moms, everything that you can think of, all the subject matter that relates to a mom, everything for how to feed your child to product reviews. So if you're thinking about a stroller, go to Mom TV. If you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know how to prepare for back to school season, go to Mom TV, your video destination online where you can find and watch information that is relevant to you as a mom. It's a great place, and we hope you'll join us on momtv.com.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
It's my favorite segment of Mom Talk Radio. It's the Spotlight on Moms. I'm joined today by Marge Gerwells. She is the mother of four children. She blogs at tinybitsofmagic.com and tweets at RNAwayMama. And we're talking about traveling with kids, specifically airline travel. And during the break, Marge and I were talking. I would just feel my heart go out to any parent who was stuck in any of that holiday travel due to weather or flight cancellations, et cetera, et cetera. I just thought, what did those parents do if they got stuck with kids in tow? So, Marge, give us a little idea of what they should have done or could do or what we can do to prepare.
Traveling in itself can be a nightmare, but traveling with kids really, really takes some extra preparation, not just for those kinds of extreme situations where you would be stranded in the airport, but also just for going on an airplane. Kids just take planning. My first tip for traveling with kids on an airline is that you need to prepare before you leave the house. My kids all travel with their own little carry-on backpack. So in the backpack, we always do some kind of snack. Some airlines do give snacks, some don't. My kids can tend to be a little bit picky, so we like to pack things that are sturdy and things that aren't as messy and things that don't have an odor, if you know what I mean. I mean, you know, you're on an airplane, it gets kind of, you know, it's a small space, so you don't want to offend the people sitting around you. So some good ideas for snacks for kids would be things like crackers or we'd like to do like dried cereal. We do those go-go squeezes, the applesauce in a pouch. Now you have to be careful with those because since they are a liquid, you need to make sure that when you're going through TSA, you want to make sure that they're out of your carry-on so that they know that you have them in the bag.
I usually do like, you know, packets of the animal crackers, goldfish, those kind
right.
of things.
But dried cereal, we always have cereal at our house, so it's easy to stick it in a Ziploc bag and toss it in their bag. So Quiet activities is also something that you want to think about for the plane ride and even sitting in the airport while you're waiting for your flight. My kids, they're a little bit older now, so they all have, you know, an iPad or, you know, an iPhone or something. But, you know, things like coloring books or sticker activities, when they're the real little ones, my 5-year-old and 8-year-old, I buy them those little, like, you can go to the dollar store and buy those little activity packs. And those are only to be open once we're at the airport. So it's something for them to look forward to and something that they don't really know what to expect until they open it up. And it actually occupies them for a good portion of the flight, too.
That's a great idea. When you mentioned the TSA check with food and you know, all the electronics and everything, I mean, I always, again, when I've been traveling for work and especially if I'm by myself, I always want to help that mom who's struggling. You know, she's got the stroller and the stuff and the, you know, what are the TSA guidelines for traveling with kids and all their stuff? Are there is there exceptions also for like a sippy cup or bottles or juice boxes?
You want to make sure your older kids don't have any secret liquids in their bag. My son is notorious for having the lost water bottle in his backpack, and he always just stops, and it always holds up the line, and it is so embarrassing.
And out it goes.
But
right?
when it comes to smaller kids, if you are bringing a sippy cup or a bottle that has a liquid in it, the first thing you should do when it is your turn to go through the checkpoint is you need to just hand it over to them and say, I have apple juice, I have formula, I have milk for my baby or my toddler. They will take it, they will test it, they will give it back to you.
Oh, okay.
But other things like water bottles, things like that, they won't allow that. But for smaller kids, if it's in a sippy cup or a bottle, they will need to test it and they will usually let us through. We've never had a problem with it. I know some people have had trouble, but we've never had a problem with it, and we have 5 kids, so.
So what do they do about the actual stroller and kids getting? I remember actually the TSA, the crackdown, obviously, was my daughter was still, I think she was about 4, but she still loved her stroller, and she hated to get out of that stroller. I mean, was sobbing and crying, and of course, I was the mom with the kid making a scene at the TSA checkpoint. What do they do about the strollers?
The strollers have to go through the x-ray or they have to go through testing. So my first tip is when you're standing in line, don't let your kid fall asleep in the stroller. That has happened to us so many times. The baby falls asleep in the stroller and you have to take them out because they have to send it through the machine.
Or so you do have to take them out of the stroller is my
question.
Right on
the belt. And if it's not, then they have to take it out and then do the wand and everything. So
Right. Okay. Right. So, and then the other question really quickly, we only have about a minute left. What about your baby being a lap child? What's your opinion on that?
Well, you know, and that is always a personal decision. You know, airline tickets are expensive. So if your child is good with sitting on your lap and, you know, is comfortable and you're comfortable and you think you can do it for the duration of the flight, I say, hey, save the $200 or $300 and let them be a lap child. Just so you know, they do ask for ID or proof of your child's age if they're going to be a lap child. So make sure that you bring that birth certificate to the airport with you when you check in.
Thank you so much, Marge. As you travel out anytime in this year, make sure to get these tips. And you can find more of them at tinybitsofmagic.com. That's where Marge blogs and tweets at RN Away Mama. And when we come back, Deb Neumeier is a film and television producer, and she's worked at Steven Spielberg's Amblin Entertainment. She's going to be talking about her new book, Moms for Hire.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Our next guest is Deb Neumeier. She is a film and television producer. And as I said before the break, she worked for Steven Spielberg's Amblin Entertainment for 12 years. And she's a studio executive. She has films under her belt like Jurassic Park, The Color Purple, Goonies, Bridges of Madison County. Amazing resume. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Deb.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm great.
Thank
so you actually have segued into a book that you wrote called Moms for Hire. What inspired you to take on this project and tell us a little bit about the book?
I have always wanted to buy this book. I looked and looked and looked. I had been a film and television producer for over 3 decades. I also simultaneously had a very rewarding career, a second career as a mother of 4. And it was always a struggle for me to figure out how to balance my career ambitions with the realities of my home life with raising thoughtful children. about 10 years ago, my husband passed away suddenly, and then I had a whole new seismic change of things that I had to do with my life. I had to not only be the mother and the father, but the sole breadwinner for the family. And I wanted the book to tell me how to figure it out, and it just did not exist. And I knew I wasn't alone. I knew that there were other women out there that were searching for a pathway to the balance of it all. And I just knew they needed some guidance as I did, because I was waiting right there behind them in the carpool lane. And there are currently 5.5 million, as you know, stay-at-home moms who, with children under 15 years old, who are trying to find career happiness or occupational happiness. It might be at home. It might be in the Go ahead.
That's exactly my story. I took 9 years off when I had my first child and when my oldest was two. So it is, you're right. And you know what? It's interesting that Maria always says this, that, you know, mothers come up with the best ideas because we see gaps where something obvious should be. So you saw this huge gap. So you created this book as a tool for moms, correct?
Yes. And I do believe that you can do whatever you want in life, but sometimes you just need the roadmap. So I
sat down
and I wrote this book. I devised 8 steps, you know, and the first 4 steps are to create you as a better candidate, a job candidate, how to make a list to figure out what you really enjoy doing, how to figure out how to merge them with your transferable skills, which are much different than when you were before you had children. You're a much
Absolutely.
Better multitasker. You're much better. So you're much better at so many things.
Exactly.
And then the second half of the book is much more the road of once you've become a good candidate, how to go out there and get the job, how to write your resume, your cover letter, your elevator pitch, how to schedule yourself for interviews and create interviews, and how not to give up, how to keep on trying to get a job that will mesh with your family life and will help you raise the kids the way you want to raise your children.
That's interesting. You just said some key words, mesh with your family life. And that is such a important, obviously, it's the number one thing for moms and dads is to have, you know, healthy, happy kids, healthy, happy family life. But working is just, you know, that's a whole nother world. So that's very, very critical.
Well, and also you don't want to forget about your own ambition.
Right.
You don't
that's true.
Want to forget about your own occupational cravings. And I don't think it has to necessarily be outside the home, but it has to be something that you feel ownership over. I think that makes a happy wife, and a happy wife is a happy home.
Right. So when you talk about in the book, you mentioned mom resumes. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Well, this is sort of a confidence building tool that I invented and gave me a lot of pleasure. There are ways to make resumes, and there are lots of books and websites that I will direct you to and instruct you, help you through with various exercises. But this was a way to build my own confidence, to realize my value. The notion is that what we do as a mom is somewhat, and you do for free. You do as a volunteer. And it's worth close to $100,000. There's chauffeuring, the tutoring, the cooking, the catering, the social, the photo archiving, the support, the emotional support, all the things that I wrote them all down and consider them part of my daily task, and it just made me feel great about all the things that I do every day that are actually of financial value to them.
And they have value, right. And it's quantitative and qualitative, I think. But you're right. And I think as moms, I know me personally, I undervalue that a lot. And when I was even brushing up on my resume to give to Maria almost 8 years ago, I thought, what do I say about that gap? You know, that gap when I didn't actually earn a paycheck. But I did plenty more and I broadened other skills, you know. So it was just interesting. It's very, very interesting what you're talking about. Very critical.
Well, you don't want to deny the gap. I mean, the gap is a real thing that we're entitled to. Women leave their jobs for many different reasons, and they're all valuable. And they're necessary often. And I don't want to dismiss them. I don't want to mommy shame them. I don't want to say there's a better way to do it. Everybody's an individual. And you can't deny the gap, and you can't pretend like that doesn't come with some consequences. But the
exactly.
consequences are, you know, it's a choice that we all make, and it's a balance that we all have to find. And it's okay to have taken time off. One-third of all college-educated women take over 2 years off of their career during a very critical time of their career trajectory, during
right.
their mid-30s.
That's it. That's yeah.
And the parade moves on to a certain degree. But that
right,
doesn't
right.
mean you don't have a lot of tangible value. Not only value in the job that you were doing before you became a mom, but also a new value. You're a much better multitasker. You're a much more flexible worker. You know how to deal with impossible people who don't know how to corral themselves, who need a positive role model.
The toddlers in the workforce, right?
Yes, the toddlers
right.
in the workforce.
Thank you so much, Deb. So, Deb, we've got about 30 seconds to wrap. So tell us, our listeners, where we can find the book and also your website, where I'm guessing you give awesome information like you just gave us today.
DeborahJellinNewmeyer.com, or you can go to Moms for Hire and order it on Amazon. It will be
okay.
in the bookstores in 2 weeks on January 31st. And please, enjoy it.
Thank you so much, Deb, and congratulations on the book and the launch. We'll have a link to your website and information about the book on momtalkradio.com. After this short break, we'll be joined by Michelle Cy-Witten. She is the president and CEO of the Global Down Syndrome Foundation. Stay with us.
This is Mom Talk Radio, the number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
On this segment of Mom Talk Radio, I'm pleased to welcome Michelle Cy-Witten. She is the co-founder, president, and CEO of the Global Down Syndrome Foundation. The foundation is dedicated to improving the lives of people with Down syndrome through research, medical care, education, and advocacy. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Michelle.
Thanks for having me, Mary.
So give us a brief glimpse at your foundation and when you started it and what your goals are and some success stories.
It starts with a personal story. In 2003, I gave birth to my first child, Sophia, who's fabulous, and she happens to have Down syndrome. We had a prenatal test. We had an amnio, and at that point, we were given a lot of wrong information, misinformation about the lifespan, the quality of life, all sorts of other things, and we were strongly encouraged to terminate the pregnancy. So, you know, for the record, the Global Down Syndrome Foundation is agnostic. It's not pro-life. It's not pro-choice. It's pro-information. I personally am pro-choice, and my choice with my husband was to continue the pregnancy, and, you know, we never looked back. So our foundation focuses on research and medical care. It's primarily national, but we have some international exciting prongs in Uganda and in a few other countries we're looking at. And we work every day to improve the lives of thousands of people with Down syndrome. So I feel very privileged to have had this experience through my own daughter, but then to meet all these wonderful families and people as well.
Right, right. So the website is globaldownsyndrome.org. Are you the only foundation out there that specifically deals with Down syndrome, or are there other ones and you just felt like... again, because in the early 2000s, you would think that there was plenty of information, but you were saying you got a lot of misinformation. So, you solved that problem in this case.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are lots of great organizations really supporting and, you know, empowering. I like to use that word, people with Down syndrome. We have, you know, we have Broadbase. You have the ARC. You have Special Olympics. Now,
right.
They help people with, you know, who have what we like to call differently abled, and other people call intellectual and developmental disabilities. We don't really like that word, disability. We like differently abled because they have ability. It's just different, right?
Right.
And we also have Down syndrome specific organizations. You have the National Down Syndrome Congress, that was started in 1973. You have the National Down Syndrome Society that was started in 1979. And then you have somewhere between 200 and 300 local Down syndrome organizations that are very locality, geographic centered. A lot of them tend to be more parent support groups, you know, outreach groups, but some of them are almost as big as the two nationals, and they do tons of great work. None of them focus on research and medical care. Down syndrome, you know, we're part of this bigger group of differently abled people. And when it comes to when we get older, for example, you know, independent living, getting a job, you know, post-secondary opportunities, we're all in the same boat. But when you talk about, gee, my child has three copies of chromosome 21 instead of two, that is a whole different medical scenario. And it requires attention. You can't reach your potential if you don't have good health. I don't care who you are. And right. If our kiddos, you know, from the time they're born, which is true, from the time they're born and even to the time they die, but in the first 21 years in particular, they are completely different in their medical care than a typical person. And if we keep on top of that, wow, you know, our kids can really reach a whole different echelon of potential. I mean, part of why the lifespan has increased, doubled since 1983. So in the 1980s, the lifespan of a person with Down syndrome was 28 years old. Today, it's pushing on 60.
Wow, that's amazing.
Medical care for these
kids.
A lot of times, kids were left to die. They were institutionalized. They were never given appropriate medical care. That's why it's so important.
Everybody, as you said, everybody has to have good health, but a person with Down syndrome has a specific set that's different than, you know, there's just specific needs anyway.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes parents can get overwhelmed with the kind of diseases or conditions that our kiddos are more prone to. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you know, our kids are much more prone to sleep apnea, which is it's tough because it stunts growth, it hurts cognition, it hurts attention span, you know, at school. Sleep apnea is not a nice thing to have. Then older in their life, you know, a huge percentage will get dementia associated with Alzheimer's, but there's still an estimated 30% who don't. But those are hard cards to be dealt. Having said that, it's extraordinarily rare for a person with Down syndrome to suffer from a solid tumor cancer like breast cancer or uterine cancer or colon cancer. And it's extraordinarily rare for a person with Down syndrome to ever get a heart attack or stroke. So there are some huge protective elements going on in having that third copy of chromosome 21. And so our science is trying to understand how to improve the medical care piece. Like, you know, what else do we know or not know and should be incorporated into medical care guidelines? And our research is so ambitious that we're actually trying to cure cancer or cure Alzheimer's by studying people with Down syndrome.
Oh, that's fascinating. Really interesting. So your foundation is doing really wonderful work. And our listeners can find information at globaldownsyndrome.org. Thank you so much for joining us, Michelle, on Mom Talk Radio. And when we come back, we're going to pull a show out of the archives. Stay with us.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
This portion of Mom Talk Radio originally aired August 2016.
We're shining a spotlight on moms in our continuing series to talk to everyday moms like you and me. And I'm pleased to welcome Cindy Simmons. She is the mother of two children and blogs at survivingmommy.com and tweets at survivingmommy. And that Twitter handle and the blog is based on her that you are a breast cancer survivor. Tell us about that, Cindy.
I am. Thanks for having me. I'm a six-year breast cancer survivor. I was diagnosed at the same age that my mom was diagnosed, and she is a four-time cancer survivor. She had breast cancer three times and uterine cancer once. So I thought, well, I just want to be like my mom.
Not really. But that's great. So you've been free for 6 years, did you say? cancer-free?
Yes, for 6 years now, and it feels great, which is kind of the way I kind of got the name for the blog. I mean, you're a breast cancer survivor, but in addition to surviving cancer, it's all about just really finding joy in surviving life, whether that's being a wife, being a mother, being a friend, being a daughter, you know, whatever. It kind of encompasses all that has to do with surviving life.
That's a great, those are great IDs you have for your social channels. So you actually just left a long career in radio.
Yes, my whole life has been spent in radio, and I was at my last radio station here in Atlanta. I did a morning show there that I hosted for 12 years, and the last five I was blogging for the radio station, and I love telling stories, which is a lot of what I did on the radio. But I loved writing the stories, and I loved doing that for the radio station, but it felt like it was a little limiting because everything sort of had to be approved, and I wanted more freedom to, you know, make my own hours and not have everything approved and just write really about anything that I wanted to. So I left about a year and a half ago, and I got exactly that, freedom and happiness and a little more time with my family, which I love.
Yeah, that's perfect. So you're writing, are you freelancing or do you have your own, did you start your own business? How did you parlay that?
I just write for survivingmommy.com. I write just whatever I feel like writing on, you know, a daily basis, weekly basis, whenever the mood strikes me. I mean, of course, you encounter writer's block once in a while, but
oh, yes.
I love it. I just love sharing stories, and I took a lot of our following from the radio station. They came over to the writing world, so they follow my website, survivingmommy.com, which has been a nice compliment that they went from following my story sharing on the radio to sharing it on the website.
And that's awesome. Good for you. And I should apologize because I know when you're writing a blog, which you do, that's a job. So I shouldn't have assumed that, you know, that's not all you're doing or that is all you're doing rather. So that's wonderful.
It is mostly what I'm doing. I fill in occasionally for, I have a lot of friends in radio. So sometimes I'll go and fill in on the morning show, a local country radio station here when one of the hosts is out. And that's just really because I've had a long standing friendship with the two of them. So they'll occasionally ask me to come in. So I suck it up and go back to waking up at 3:30 in the morning when they need me to.
I could say Maria asked me to host for her when she's unavailable, and I don't have to get up that early. It's basically, you know,
that's like the middle of the night. It's really not the morning.
Yeah. So you have your children are relatively young, so that's good that you can spend more time with them. That's got to be so rewarding.
Oh, it's wonderful. My oldest just turned 11, and my youngest is 3, and I have one, she's the 11-year-old, she's already back in school, but my other one does not start for another week. And unfortunately, I just broke my foot the other day, so I'm not able to take either one of them to school right now, so that's disappointing and frustrating at the same time.
Yeah, no, and that's, plus the fact even just running around after a 3-year-old is enough to...
Yes. exhausting already, but add a broken foot onto it, doubly exhausting.
Right. So you talk on survivormommy.com, you talk about your journey, and what else is on the blog? And we have about 30 seconds left.
Okay. Really, we've been traveling so much because once I went through my illness, I just realized, you know, you get one chance at life. And I want to travel a lot, so we've really made a big deal of traveling in our family. My mom lives with us, and she's lived with us since my youngest was born, so over 3 years now. So we try to do these really great family vacations together. We're big Disney fans. We love to go to Disney. But really, any opportunity we have to be together as a family to travel, we do and take advantage of it, and I write about those experiences as well.
That's awesome. Good for you. And you're right. Unfortunately, we need a wake-up call sometimes to realize life is short. So it's good to enjoy every moment.
We're trying to. Thank you so much for having me today.
No problem.
Wonderful. Thanks for joining us on Mom Talk Radio. We will have a link to this segment and the website on momtalkradio.com. Thank you all so much again for listening. Again, Happy New Year, my first show to speak to you all. And Maria will be behind the mic next week. Stay with us for another great episode next week. And again, check momtalkradio.com for this show and prior shows.